across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we investigate this mad scheme to build a giant Aussie lifesaver on the Gold Coast. Mick takes issue with this greatest books ever list. We'll demonstrate how the right background music can revolutionise your social life. And given that it's our last show for the week, we'll be on for a furious round of silly noises. We'll give you one final chance to bag that cameo in NYPD Blue on When Celebrities Attack. We'll summon the Radio Gladiators. And joining us live, it's Hall of Famer Charles Bud Tingwell. Yes, it's all coming up on Radio's own Hard Rubbish Collection, Martin Malloy. And that's the Gin Blossoms here at Martin Malloy. Good afternoon, everyone tuning in right around Australia. And a special hello to our London listeners. It's our final show. The license runs out for TNT today.
Hang on, listen. You can almost hear him cheering.
Oh, yeah. There you go. And it's about team. Okay, well, I think we better turn on something special today.
Sure.
It's myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who, like our public servants, firmly believes in industrial action. He's spent all afternoon in the gents floating his own log of claims. Mick Malloy.
I wouldn't go in there for another 5 minutes. That's all I'm saying.
Something special for our final show to London.
Indeed.
This is what you're going to be missing, people, for the rest of the year. Although there's a chance they're getting another license in September.
Look out.
Consider us there, folks, and we'll redo the log of claims thing for you. It's at times like this I wish we had some writers so we could actually blame that on someone else. But sadly, no. Look, everyone's talking today about this bloke, Lloyd Bond.
Oh, yeah.
On the Gold Coast and his company, Theme Corporation, and their mad scheme to build a giant, I think it's 30 stories tall, big lifesaver.
Bronzed Aussie lifesaver.
Now, I have to admit, this sounds to me like one of them Joey Skaggs media pranks.
Right.
Lloyd Bond. That's not some sort of made-up name.
No.
It's not like Lloyd Williams, Alan Bond.
No, no.
This better not be a prank.
I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, Sansi has got us a number, and apparently this guy is bona fide. So pass, let's do this.
What's
again.
Doing?
Like we did yesterday. Give us a phone.
Building a giant lifesaver.
Yeah, it's as simple as that.
We want to talk to him. Hold all other calls.
Okay. Find out if he's for real. It's in a couple of papers today, but it's got a whiff of shonk about it. I don't know. Find out.
You can talk.
Here we go. Should be here.
Good afternoon. Theme Corporation. Peter speaking.
Hi, could we speak to Lloyd, please?
Just a moment.
Hello, this is Lloyd.
Tony Martin and Mick Malloy here.
G'day, ladies.
What are you up to?
Mate, we're trying to convince Australia that the bronze Aussie is pretty terrific.
And what are you going to do? You're going to build a 30-story bronzed Aussie lifesaver.
The lifesaver itself is only about 15 stories high. It actually goes on a building.
Yeah.
And the building is actually the shape, a similar shape to what Ayers Rock is. But inside that building is a 6,000-seat amphitheatre stadium, a 500-room hotel, a convention centre, and an environment like a rainforest restaurant.
Right. It has to be asked, Lloyd. Are you insane?
Well, plenty of people say that I am, but no, this is a great idea, mate.
Let me get this right. There'll be a lift inside the legs?
There's a lift inside that building that will actually go straight up, and because next to the surf lifesaver, which revolves, I see the statue itself is about 15 metres taller than the Statue of Liberty.
Is it really?
And then next to that is a reel, you know, like a life-saving reel.
Yeah, yeah.
And that stands about 15 metres high.
And what's he going to have in his hand? Will he have a bit of a stubby that sort of goes off like a geyser every hour?
Yeah, well, I mean, at the moment, the design is he's sort of got the Aussie salute. He's sort of looking around. Because he's on a turntable, he actually turns round and revolves once every 3 hours.
Right, so what sort of speed do you reckon he's going to reach? Would you get him up to 50?
Well, we should be able to wind him up. I think with all those things are up for negotiation, I reckon.
How big's his head?
His head is actually
bigger than Bert Newton's?
No, not that big.
Right, so what's inside him? Is it like a restaurant or a casino?
No, not inside him. Inside the rock-shaped building, you see.
Right.
So I can actually climb up this rock as well. I mean, on the exterior of this hotel convention centre thing, you can actually climb up by steps or you can actually take the lift up through the middle.
Or you can just fly up his inside leg like a goanna.
You could do.
Right, and obviously the question everyone's asking is, where are you going to get a pair of underpants that big for him?
That's, I mean, I didn't have all of the answers. It's just that...
Well, you're up in Queensland. Pop round to Mel Colston's place. He'll have a couple of spares.
Big Mel, I never thought about that.
Would you consider at all giving him a bit of a Duchovny? In the downstairs department, you know what I mean? You know, into a bit of a massive sundial.
You know, if people want to know what time it is, they just go and check where he's pointing.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. I'm actually taking notes here because this is great inspiration for me. And
are you sure you're taking advantage of the revolving aspect? I mean, what about if he has one of his hands out and then the kiddies can get up in there and go for a bit of a burn?
Hey, what a good idea. See, that's good. I'll write that down too. Because, I mean, what I'm really doing with all of this is just saying that Australia really needs a great, huge, larger-than-life icon of some description. How's this for openers? And so how we actually make it, we really need people like you to try and help us with.
Oh, okay. Well, we can come up with some ideas. It's meant to be a typical Aussie bloke, is that it?
It does, really.
Well, what about when he revolves round the other side, he bends over and just drops the speedo and gives everyone a 180-degree salute?
The bonsai.
Maybe we can get a bit of flame action.
Absolutely.
You know, no, just for seagoing vessels at night. It would come in handy, wouldn't it? It would be a navigational tool.
Did you see that big flame-off thing they got at the Melbourne Casino?
This is fantastic. Mate, this is great.
Hang on a second, Lloyd. I hope you're taking your own idea seriously.
My word.
And how did you research this? Did you just go around the country or indeed the world just looking at big stuff, Lloyd?
I operate probably Australia's largest theme architecture and theme event company. I've had it for many, many years.
Can't claim the big pineapple?
No, that's not one of mine, mate.
You must hate that big pineapple, Lloyd. That's stealing your thunder, and it doesn't even rotate.
No, it doesn't.
Hey, when this lifesaver's finished, you'll be able to fit that big pineapple down the front of his togs.
What about the big banana at Coffs Harbour?
Hey, the big banana's had it too good for too long.
It is, absolutely.
All right, well, thanks very much for talking to us, Lloyd.
Thank you.
And good luck with building big stuff in the future.
Thanks a million, guys.
From Simply Red here at Martin Molloy. Thanks very much to Lloyd Bond for answering the phone and talking to us about his bronze Aussie, which he's hoping to get up and running. I understand there's not a lot of enthusiasm for it in Queensland, but, you know, people in other states are starting to nibble. And he's sent us the plans. And check this out. So you've got the kind of ears rock, and then on top of that you've got the bronzed Aussie, and next to the bronzed Aussie, there's one of those reels, you know, like the life-saving reels, and that's actually a restaurant.
Right.
Is that a revolving restaurant? Because if it's a revolving restaurant, it's not going round on a sort of flat axis, it's going round, so you'd be in the restaurant running like a rat in a cage.
There you go.
Oh, this is a great meal. Slow it down, Lloyd.
Working it off as you eat.
I think it's a vertical revolving restaurant is a fantastic idea.
He's way ahead of his time.
All right.
He's a visionary.
Let's put that aside for one moment.
He's the man.
What have you been into today, Mickey?
Well, Tane, it's time to lift the lid on the world of literature and ask a few hard questions. Now, a new poll to determine the most popular book of all time has J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings placed firmly on top of a pretty impressive list. Yeah. Read any of his books, Tane? Or were you too knee-deep in the three investigator murder mysteries?
I was.
Oh, you loved Jupiter Jones, didn't you? In fact, that's why you insisted the studio we now broadcast from be hidden under a garbage tip. That's what you said. We're either hidden in our top secret studio under a ton of trash like the three investigators, or we broadcast offshore from a submarine like the Goodies did when they started their pirate radio station. Except instead of boring the crap out of everyone by playing A Walk in the Black Forest all day, we do it with Alanis Morissette. Our top secret studio. And we would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for that Ian Kiernan and those meddling kids on Clean Up Australia Day.
I remember.
Now we're coming to you from under another garbage tip. Just reach up and lift the hatch, Gracie. See if anyone's nosing about now. Oh, close the hatch, Gracie. Well, we're safe for a while, lads.
Nicely done.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes. J.R.R. Tolkien, we've all read his books at some stage. And remember that magnificent TV show about his life and times? Do you remember that?
What was that?
Well, my favourite episode was the Who Shot J.R.R. episode.
Oh, oh, okay, Gracie. Oh, yeah. Cut the hatch.
Oh. Sorry, I'll promise I'll never do that joke again.
That'll learn you.
Now, the survey of the Folio Society's 50,000 book buying members, published yesterday on World Book Day to mark the Society's 50th anniversary, had Lord of the Rings on top, ahead of Pride and Prejudice, David Copperfield, by Charles Dickens.
Gotcha.
Not the old puffy pants. Yeah. The complete works of Shakespeare, War and Peace, Wind in the Willows, Middlemarch, Animal Farm, Tess of the D'Urbervilles, and The Jungle Book. Exactly. Now, Tone, I haven't read all of those books, but I have had them all stuffed down the back of my pants at different times as I've waited nervously out the front of the headmaster's office. Yeah. There's a book list I'd like to see. All-time favourite books to stuff down the back of your pants.
Hey.
I'd still have War and Peace in my top 10. Probably second, just behind the complete set of Encyclopedia Britannica. No, I just found they offered more protection than your funkin' Wagnalls.
But the point is, you've come in contact with great literature.
There you go.
It's important for your development.
Indeed. But the list, look, it's good. Yeah. I do enjoy them all, but let's face it, you're not about to trundle off to the bogger with one of these tucked under your arm now, are you?
No.
Oh, no. There's another book list I'd like. All-time favourite books you'd read on the bogger. Oh, where would you start? Yeah, Girl Power.
Oh, yeah.
By Spice Girls.
Absolutely.
That'd have to be in there.
Yeah.
Mad Magazine. Oh, that's one of my favourites. Oh, I'll tell you what, I was leafing through on the can the other day, Tone.
Yes.
Pauline Hanson's new book, The Truth.
Oh, yeah. How'd you find it?
Oh, a bit rough on the old bop bot, actually.
I feel that's Alicia's attic here at Martin Malloy, where it's party time.
Excuse me.
Yes, do I know you?
No, my name's Barry, and you look like a bit of a top sort, and I was wondering if maybe you'd like to, you know, just have a bit of a chat, and then maybe come out to my 78 Scorpion and do the bizzo.
Sleazebag?
Hang on.
What?
Can I try that again with this special backing track from the Martin Malloy collection?
All right.
Hi, I'm Barry. Why not do as I do and chat? That's all, just chat. There's no strings attached. You'll meet someone else just like you. Discretion is assured, so go on. Take the plunge. Mr. Wright is waiting for you.
Hey, you're great. I take back what I said before. You're a real spunk.
Yes, I'm in. Thank you, Martin Malloy.
Julie, what are you doing? That's Barry Snell. He's the biggest slime ball in town.
No, he's not.
He is.
Let me explain. It was so simple. I just had a chat. That's all it was. Just chat. There are so many men and women just like me waiting right now. Thanks to Barry, I may finally have met that special someone.
Oh, well, when you put it that way, care for an hors d'oeuvre?
Oh, they look disgusting. I wouldn't touch one at gunpoint.
But they're hot and they're waiting for you. Go on, take the plunge if you dare.
Steamed panda gonads. Delicious. Something caught in my windpipe.
Excuse me. Doctor coming through.
God, is she all right?
I'm afraid she's dead.
Dead? Oh, nah. That's right. She's dead. Just like so many other men and women, just like you. She's taken the plunge.
Huh. I quite like the sound of that.
Oh, what happened?
Hey, you're meant to be dead.
But everybody, we're missing Big Sky with Gary Sweet.
So?
Big Sky, it's waiting for you. Go on, take the plunge.
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah,
nice try though. That's one I love from REM here at Martin Malloy. We're in the next hour when celebrities attack. It's the final one, Mickey.
Hurrah! Oh, no. Oh, that's sad.
It's your last chance to get that walk-on role in NYPD Blue. You could be sharing the screen with Sipkowitz
And Pete Smith is going to be coming out of the booth to make it a very special finale. Also, Charles Bud Tingwell.
Mm-hmm.
He's too good for our program, isn't he?
I think so.
He's coming in nonetheless, and people enjoying his work in the castle at the moment. He'll be with us in the next hour. Radio Gladiators is coming up, and I think we're going to be talking silly noises. I've just got a press release here, Mick. Totty Goldsmith will be popping down to the shops for a carton of milk in a low-cut dress this Monday. I understand four newspapers and three women's magazines are bidding for the rights to cover the event.
When was that?
Monday, I think.
I need more notice than that. What are they doing putting these out like that?
It's very important. It's very important that we know. Now, I just wanted, while we're talking that kind of thing, we've talked about this before. Channel 9 really are the premier television network.
Mm.
And there's one reason, one thing they can do better than any other network, and that's when they're promoting a movie, they can find the breasts.
Mm-hmm.
They can find, doesn't matter what film it is, you could give them the Muppet movie and they'd find the shot of some breasts to sneak into the promo to get horny blokes tuning in of a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And they've outdone themselves at the moment with the promo for My Girl 2. Have you seen that?
Yes.
My Girl 2 is like a kids movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little lovable child's romance kind of a film. Somebody's obviously come down and gone, oh, it's a kids' movie, oh, it's just, find the tits. It's got Jamie Lee Curtis in it, find some tits. And they've managed to find a shot where Jamie Lee is leaning over and she's obviously explaining the idea of breasts to her young daughter. And I think her line is, they're quite large, aren't they? So they've got that. They've stuck that in the promo. But then the genius, and this is where no one else on any other network would think of going the one step further.
Mm.
They found a shot from somewhere else in the movie of Dan Aykroyd, and I don't know what he's doing. He's outside, he's caught a fish or something, and his eyes are kind of going doring out of his head. So they cut it. They're quite big, aren't they? Doring. And suddenly you go, it's Alvin Purple. There'll be guys sitting there for 2 hours waiting for the tit action this Sunday night, I promise you that. And I've said this before, they could play Schindler's List. And they find the little scene where Liam Neeson is in bed with his wife. Remember, there's a tiny hint of a sex scene in Schindler's List. And that's what they'd be using in the promo.
That'd be it.
Check out Schindler's List. Wait till you see what Mrs. Schindler's packing down the front of her shirt. 8:30 this Sunday.
Mm.
Now, let's talk entertainment because nothing goes down a treat more on this show than when we pull out the Con the Fruiterer doll.
Oh, great. You got it there?
We got the Con the Fruiterer doll here. People love the work at Con. Here he comes now. You ready, Gracie? But I understand he may have a rival. What have you been sent in the mail, Mickey?
It's our good buddies, Beavis and Butthead time. They're plonked on the cat and they're ready for trouble.
Just fire it off.
Would you like to hear a word?
Let's hear that.
What the hell is this crap?
They can read our minds.
And they've sent that to us because I think we're the only people promoting Beavis and Butthead on Channel 10 at 11:30 Tuesday nights. It's a top view. Actually fell off my couch laughing this week.
Which particular point?
I think it was when... I can't describe it.
There's too much going on in that show, isn't there?
It's too early for me to describe what I was laughing at, but it was sophisticated entertainment. Let's see if we can get a conversation going between Con the Fruiterer and Beavis and Butthead. I'll go first. Here we go.
What a bunch of dumbasses.
Howdy, dog. Thank good luck to your family.
This wolf.
Gobbling, eh?
This sucks. Yeah, dang it.
Beavis and Butthead have got a million of them, Tone.
Kick ass.
Good luck to your family.
Whoa. That's pretty cool.
Casanada.
I am Cornolio.
Casanada.
Shut up, fart knocker.
This is
I'm not done yet. Don't put it away. Where do you think you're going?
Is this going around the world still, Gracie? Do you think people are enjoying this in London? All this satellite technology being employed for?
What a bunch of dumbasses.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
I think there's only one thing we can do to punish ourselves, Mickey.
Oh, no.
Open up the trapdoor again, Gracie.
Oh, this
is... What the hell is this crap?
It's Martin Malloy, thanks to Coca-Cola. And it's making Con sound a little bit old-fashioned, isn't it?
Okay. We should plug the film too, Tone. Yeah. Beavis and Butthead, the movie.
Do America.
Do America. That's it's a chock-a-block with the good stuff.
Yeah. And if you love Shine, you won't like this.
What's the time for?
Radio Gladiators, your challenge.
Good luck to your family.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's starting to get people's teeth on edge.
Not me.
But let's continue down that track because we haven't done this for a couple of months.
Yep.
Silly noises.
Always a favourite here on the Progy.
Let's get people calling up with silly noises that they've created themselves. Mm. I think the rule here is generally no props, no accessories.
Yep.
You've got to do them all with your own body.
Mm-hmm.
And go further than what you're thinking right now, people.
Sure.
Someone who is a master of silly noises in this country is Haskell Daniel. Are you on the line there, Haskell?
Yeah, I'm here, mate.
Okay. Sorry to drag you into our sophisticated potpourri of comedy today.
Yeah, cool, cool.
Okay. Can you furnish us with a couple of examples of silly noises? Have you been working on anything in the shed?
I've been working on stuff, mate. Now, the FA Cup final is coming up soon. There's a lot of soccer freaks out there, so right. Here's an impression of what you normally hear in the background of an FA Cup match.
Okay.
And Schmeichel lines it up for a goal. Miss.
Hey, Haskell.
Yep.
Schmeichel's a goalkeeper.
That's right. He kicks an own goal. That's what do I know about the sport?
It's great
it's
when
sport, the mate. Have you seen me do it before?
Now you come to mention it.
I've been around at Haskell's place when the TV's on the fritz. People are, you know, missing the soccer. He just does the whole thing. Nobody ever complains. Have you got something else for us there, Haskell?
I beg your pardon?
Have you got another one for
yeah,
us?
Yeah, sure do. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Gillian Anderson is actually doing her own song. She's got samples of her own voice. Right. This is what I think it would be sound like if The X-Files was a rap song. Check this out, Scully. Mulder, what is it? Mulder. Something like that.
I just have to ask you again, Haskell, how many hours do you put in a day working on this stuff? When do you get up? When does the workshop begin?
It never stops, mate. Yeah. Never stops.
And what was the first silly noise you ever made? Can you remember, Haskell?
The first silly noise was a fart in the bathtub.
Oh, okay.
That old one.
We won't ask you to recreate.
Oh, there it is.
Okay. And something to take us out with?
This is a very tough one, okay? Don't try this at home. This is Poltergeist, okay? Now, Steven Spielberg is redoing the movie.
Yep.
So, it's like this. Mommy! Hi, Mommy! Mommy! Caroline? They're here.
You just don't need a telly.
Yeah.
Get this bloke round if your telly's on the fritz. Haskell, thanks very much for helping us out today. Now we're going to, you should listen into the next segment because you might get some ideas. The callers are going to be coming up with their own silly noises. And your prize is you get to go the plug. Have you got something to plug?
I got something to plug. I'm performing in Melbourne this Saturday night at the Circuit Sports Bar in North Fitzroy. Boy.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, we'll pull the tarp off our new characters for autumn. Pete Smith is here for the final when celebrities attack. And in just a moment, up-and-coming Australian actor Charles Bud Tingwell joins us. All thanks to Coca-Cola. That's the Rembrandts here at Martin Malloy with I'll Be There For You, the theme from Friends. Wasn't our guest today in the original cast of Friends?
I believe so, yep.
I think he was in the pilot anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He's in position. This bloke, he's one of our finest and most respected actors. He's worked all around the world in film, TV and on stage. He's also a director and producer. He teaches acting. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's been part of the Film Commission. He played a key role in our defeat of the Axis powers in World War II. But throughout it all, one dream has kept him going. The dream of one day being invited onto Martin Malloy to talk crap with Mick and Tone. Well, now's your chance. Charles Bud Tingwell! Charles, thanks for coming in today.
A great pleasure.
Now, I'm calling you Charles.
Yes.
Do people do that?
Oh, yeah, sometimes. Or Bud in brackets, and, you know.
Right.
G'day, Bud in brackets.
Who's Charles and where is he?
Yeah.
I came to talk to Bud.
That's right. Is that the same fella?
And we've got the headphones on and I'm copying that voice and, you know, I've had someone tell me that yours is the most trustworthy voice in Australia.
Hey, it takes years of practice to put on a trustworthy voice.
Does it work for you? Can you get away with murder because you're so trustworthy sounding?
Not exactly murder, but yes, get away with one or two things.
Because
yes.
I suppose you'd be always getting offered those ads, you know, where it's a building society.
That's right, yes, and houses and things for sale.
Exactly. I'll take it, bud.
Now, what about radio? When did you get involved in the radio game?
Well, actually, I got my first radio job as a result of taking part in a competition in about 1938.
Oh, yeah.
And that was in Sydney.
A competition? What sort of competition
was
that?
See, as radio was hotting up and people were getting more and more excited about it and buying radio sets and listening in, they started having amateur acting competitions and things. There was a show called Do You Want to Be an Actor, run by a man called Rod Gainford. This was in Sydney. And you just bowled along. And I took part in the heats with a mate of mine. And he won. Yeah. I didn't get anything, except somebody sent up a consolation prize of 10 bob for the bloke in the light sports coat. As I had the only light sports coat, I went up. Then there was another one called The Play Goes On, and that was for amateur drama groups.
Yeah.
And I said to my mate, Owen, we are not in one. He said, we're entering, though. And so we invented an amateur drama group called the Osiris Players, as a result of which I got one of the leads in a radio serial.
Okay.
And Owen did all the organising and he didn't crack it for anything. But he had won a heat the year before in that other one.
Yeah.
But anyway, that got me in.
And radio was much more sensible in those days, of course, Bud. You couldn't get away with something like shoot the celebrity in the arse back in the 1940s, I'm guessing.
What word's that? I haven't heard.
It'll all be edited out before we go to air. Now, Bud, it's a massive career, and sadly you're on Martin Malloy, so we're unable to do it justice. But let's start with The Castle. I mean, you're in a hit movie. I mean, are people...
How about that? Wow.
Are you fighting the babes off with a stick?
No, not yet. Oh, you mean the 60-year-olds?
Yes.
Yeah, getting a bit worrying. Yes, yes. But no, it's been a terrific, terrific experience to do that show.
Mm-hmm.
And... But I've seen you before somewhere too, haven't I?
Oh, yeah, there we
there's
are.
There's a big scene right at the end.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a tall bloke. Yeah. And I think, it's you.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to have to separate you two in a minute, aren't I?
Now, I've got a tiny wordless cameo as Bud's son. They couldn't get Warwick Fairfax, so they got me.
I wanted to roll as Bud's bastard son, Edmund, but they just wouldn't write it in.
Now, it's hard to know where to go next because there's just so much on the resume. I'll tell you something. My mum remembers a show which I think you were in. It was a precursor to ER and Chicago Hope. What was that hospital drama you were in?
Emergency Ward 10. I should have been in London a couple of weeks ago now to attend the 40th anniversary of Episode 1.
Is that
and that was in February 1957.
Wow. Well, this is our final show going to London, so
well,
make an apology now.
Hey, Tony and Co, thanks for the tape you sent. They sent me out a tape of the gathering they had, and they're all my mates. Some of them looking a little bit older, but great. It was a terrific experience, that, because I was in England to finish a part in the film The Shirelli.
Yes.
And an agent I'd met said, look, before you go home, go and see this team about a show that is only going to run for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks maybe. It might run for six, but that's about all. You might have a couple of episodes, and I met the guy, and I was cast as the Aussie surgeon, and I was in episode 1, 2, and 4, and it was live to air. And live to air meant that you knew how you went as soon as you came off air, and we were a hit the next day. We became number one show. They were rewriting all the backgrounds of the characters, and I finished up doing 6 years of that show.
Wow. So you were kind of the George Clooney of your day in at least that period.
No, this is a new medical show, is it? I don't watch any medical shows.
Yeah, they couldn't do ER live. All that shaky camera business. How dangerous was it doing a live medical drama?
Reasonably dangerous, yes. You had to learn to say things like hyperparathyroidism and hemicolectomy and put them all in one sentence.
And what do you mean by live, Bud? Are you just bursting in on real operations? And yeah, dropping a few lines. Sure. Quick, film this. What are you people doing in here? Stand clear. Did they have to stand clear? In those days?
No.
I don't know how you could do a medical drama without those.
Or were you putting leeches on people and just hoping for the best?
That's right. And lots of bandages.
Well, there's a lot more to get through. Can you stick around for another break with us?
Sure, mate.
Yes. Here at Martin Molloy. And Bud Tingwell is with us here on Martin Molloy today. And, of course, it's the longest resume in Australian show business. But, and, you know, I remember when you were on the Logies getting that Hall of Fame business.
Ah, yeah.
And they were reading out all these great credits, things you'd done. And nobody bothered to mention your performance in Charlie the Wonder Dog for The Late Show.
No. Well, that's very much a highlight.
Oh,
very much a highlight.
It was great for us because we thought, let's get someone who's a really good actor and force them to act badly. How hard was it to act badly?
Oh, real easy. Oh, real easy.
We had a bet, and I don't know if the guys told you about this when we were doing Charlie the Wonder Dog on The Late Show. You had a line, and I think Tom wrote this line, he truly is a wonder dog. And we're all looking forward to the day when you're going to say it. We had a bit of a bet as to how you would say it and what the inflection would be. And do you remember how it came out?
No, I think it was quiet, wasn't it? He truly is a wonder dog.
Oh, no, no. No, the magic touch is you went up. You went, he truly is a wonder dog.
Oh!
Nobody was picking that.
Wasn't a dry eye in the house, let me tell you, bud.
And another thing we must, obviously, it's Anzac Day tomorrow. Mick and myself have absolutely no credentials re-Anzac work, but we're quite happy to take the public holiday.
Oh, good, 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 good.
But what happens on Anzac Day for you? How many of those bombing missions did you fly on?
I bombed the enemy with a camera.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, photographic reconnaissance. I did about 75 trips. Mm. Got a bit exciting sometimes.
That was how TV Week photographers used to photograph in those days, wasn't it?
That's right.
They'd get a bomber, come over your house.
Sure.
Say cheese, bud.
Yeah. Be careful of those long legs.
Wow, 75 missions in the Air Force. What was your rank, can I ask?
A flight lieutenant.
A flight lieutenant?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't be much less than a flight lieutenant if you survived, but yeah.
And was it like directing? Did you get out there and give your troops a...
No. I was on the wrong end of a few lectures, but myself.
And what sort of pictures did you come back with? Anything blue, anything saucy?
No. They were fairly vertical.
Do you have them all in an album?
I've got a few.
Check out this Dresden. No, check, this is where we went to
I missed all the really dangerous spots. Now, we were covering the Eastern Mediterranean. What we used to do was fly over all those beautiful Greek islands every day and drool and have to go back and land in North Africa, which wasn't all that romantic, actually.
And what was it like coming back from a proper job in the RAAF to just being another job and actor?
Oh, well, look, I got my first job as an actor because I had my own Air Force uniform. I'd been overseas for about 3 years, and my mum, we lived in Coogee in Sydney, where I was born, and she said, look, they're making a big film about Sir Charles Kingsford Smith. You'd be great as Smithy. I said, no, wait a minute, Ronnie Randall's playing the part. Ron Randell, as he became when he went to Hollywood. She said, well, go out and see them. So I was flight lieutenant with the wings and all that. Went out, saw the casting director, and he said, have you come about a part? I said, yeah. He said, can you read lines? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. He said, is that your own uniform? I said, yeah. He said, good, you're in.
Wow, because you had the uniform. You know, that's how Adam West got the job as Batman. It was just an amazing coincidence. I've got one of those. Another role I remember you from when I was a kid, Bud, was you were in those Miss Marple films, weren't you?
Yes.
Who were you?
I was the cop, the inspector, who was always,
skeptical.
Yes, and a little bit behind, a bit like the grandpa in Charlie the Wonder Dog. She got there first, always.
That's right.
And Inspector, I think you'll find, boom, and she was right.
And were you also voices on not on Thunderbirds, but like the lesser-known shows like Thunderbirds?
Oh, actually, no. One of my best roles in England was as the worried Italian waiter in an episode of Thunderbirds, who kept saying, it will be a great disaster, it will be a great disaster. And you never knew what you were going to look like, you see, because we used to record them. And this lovely little guy with very grey hair kept bouncing around saying, it would be a great disaster, as the mountain was about to collapse on the holiday.
And you were still in your Air Force costume too, weren't you? Yes. You're bad, I think.
With the strings attached. Well, it's really quite insulting to get you in just for these two breaks, Bud, but what are you working on now? Obviously, the castle being quite a success, I imagine you're getting the call from Hollywood? Again?
Hey, listen, I did get a call from an American producer the other day who's in Australia, and she said she saw the castle and loved it, because a lot of people are saying, yes, but how will it go overseas?
Right.
And she said, I just love the castle. It's great. And so she, because she saw me in that, she's asked me to go and meet them about something. So, but I've also just done another movie, Nadia Tass's film, Amy, which is still in production.
Right.
I played the smallest role of a doctor that's ever been written, I think. But it's lovely working with Nadia again, because I played a very small role of a tramway manager in Malcolm. I usually come on before the titles.
So you can get to the pub sooner.
That's right, yes.
Well, the big question just before you go, Bud, is if we can get the finance to get the Charlie the Wonder Dog movie happening, are you available?
Oh, absolutely.
I know the people at Village Roadshow are pushing for Schwarzenegger as Gramps.
No. He's sort of too big.
He's not trustworthy enough. That's his problem. Well, all the best, and have yourself a top Anzac Day tomorrow, Bud.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks for coming in. Say goodbye, or don't say goodbye, from Human Nature here at Martin Molloy. Thank you very much to Bud Tingwell for dropping in. And, of course, the castle's still on at cinemas. And, you know, we've had a lot of calls during that last number, people wanting to invest, you know, Lightning Jack style, in the Charlie the Wonder Dog movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to work, because you don't want a movie of Charlie the Wonder Dog. It might get a bit too sort of sophisticated.
Exactly.
It's got to be low tech.
With a mechanical wonder dog, like the shark in Jaws. It would have been a lot better if they just stuck to the original and used a real shark.
You could have Charlie on, say, a gold rope. You know, it could be slightly more expensive.
Sure.
But, and now, people, it's time for Pete to say these words one final time.
It's time to play When Celebrities Attack. Celebrities and humans have always coexisted somewhat uneasily on this earth, and no one really knows when one may attack next. Imagine Ruth Cracknell going every letterbox in your street with a baseball bat. Imagine having your leg chewed off by that bloke from The Prodigy. Imagine having every panel of your car kicked in by a river-dancing Michael Flatley on heat. Imagine being forced to have a conversation with Peter Costello without the protection of a shark cage. If you can help us relive the moment when celebrities attack, you could be up for a fabulous prize, courtesy of new blue M&Ms.
Are you ready to fall down a flight of stairs?
I am, yeah.
But who are you going to be?
Going to be Arnie Schwarzenegger.
Take it away, Douglas!
Hasta la seques. I hurt my back. I don't think I'll be back for this one.
That was Arnie leaving hospital. You there, Helen?
Yeah, I'm here.
Now, who exactly is going to be falling down a flight of stairs today?
Pauline Hanson.
Watch your step!
Ow. I don't like this. I don't like this at all. Ow. Oh, look at me. I'm all black and blue. I don't mind the blue. I don't like it.
Oh, nicely done, Helen.
Apparently, Aborigines used to eat entire staircases. They just come round to your house and they'd eat your staircase.
I want to know what's going on.
If you're today's winner, you'll bag a blue M&M prize pack and go into the draw for a trip for two to LA and New York, where you'll score a walk-on part in NYPD Blue. Okay, lads, for the final time, cover your cards and hope for the best.
Well, do just that, Pete. I reckon we've got to get him involved.
Where is he?
He's up on the roof.
We're
broadcasting from our Three Investigators-style bunker today. If anyone remembers the Three Investigators, just reach up and open the trapdoor.
There we go. Oh!
Come on. Hey!
Welcome aboard.
That's the last time I mentioned cods on the air.
Yes, it's Pete Smith. I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
No room for that sort of language on this program. Now, for our final one, we thought we'd cut out the violence.
Our final what?
When Celebrities Attack.
Oh, it's the last one.
It's the last one.
All right.
And what about the Spice Girls? I know they're always popular when they're on the segment.
Sure.
And, Pete, have you been following this story? I know you'd be keen for the same kind of Prince William treatment yourself.
Yeah, they got a lot of class.
Yeah, pop vixens, the Spice Girls, have promised the future King of England a raunchy first date he will never forget. The Spice Girls yesterday vowed to treat Prince William to a noisy, messy dinner where the royal family would be encouraged to belch, fart, and go mad. And that's out of the papers today.
Yeah, my backfiring babies.
Okay.
I'm glad we've injected Pete Smith into the segment. It just kind of cleans it up a tad.
I love
that.
I mean? Yeah, give me some more exhaust fumes, boys. Preferably human.
You know, that's... That's a fantastic idea. And I think today we'll talk about dream dates. Mm. Let's get people to call up and tell us which particular celebrity you'd most like to have a dream date with. One where, obviously, you could be encouraged to belch, fart and go mad.
Mm.
Spice Girl story. Pete, what about you? Ever had or dreamed of a dream date with a celebrity?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Way back, it was Kim Novak coming down those stairs in Picnic. And believe me, after that big picnic, she would have been ideal.
Oh, picnic.
But I've improved over the years, and Sharon Stone really is.
Really,
is,
Sharon
Stone? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Sharon Stone. After that cafeteria scene, you know. You remember the one?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember. My memory refreshed. What are we talking about?
Well, I won't go into details, boys. Maybe it was on the cutting room floor, but I believe that scene actually took place.
Well, I don't know.
A big feast with Sharon.
Well, we'll see if we can arrange. We've got connections. I don't know if we can line up. How about Arantxa Sanchez? We could sub her in. Well, I don't know if we've got clout with Sharon Stone. Mickey, anything you'd like to get out of your system?
Nah.
Don't mention, you're in too much trouble already
I'm
today.
I'm already in a tad of bother. I'm pleading the fifth.
Okay. What would Beavis and Butthead have to say about that, do you think?
It's crap on every channel.
Okay, crap on every channel.
I am Canolio.
Okay, Pete, sorry to drag you down to our level quite so comprehensively, but it is the final when celebrities attack and people just have to call us up and tell us who to have a dream date with. We can't arrange it, I'm afraid, but we'd like to know who and why. You'll get that blue M&M pack and you'll go into the drawer for that trip for two to New York and LA, and you're going to get that walk-on part in NYPD Blue if it's you. Pete, you're here to supervise the drawer. Are you ready for this?
Always ready.
It's the big one.
Yeah.
This today, it's going to be your last chance.
I'm up to the task.
To have a scene with Sipkowitz. Is he anyone's idea of a dream date?
Oh, I'll fight you for him.
Okay, call us now and tell us who it is. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
Yes, it's the final time you'll hear that madcap rumber on Martin Malloy. It's the final edition of When Celebrities Attack. And Pete Smith is with us. He's got a pen in his hands. You know he's serious.
I mean business, boys.
All right, because today we've all heard about the Spice Girls taking Prince William out on a dream date in which he will be encouraged. Let me just point it out again. To belch, fart and go mad. Okay. Mm-hmm.
In that order?
I think so. It's very important.
Oh, yeah.
There's strict royal protocols.
Absolutely.
All right. And we want to know who you'd like to have a dream date with. Who's going first, Mick?
I believe Dave is going to kick us off. Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, mate. How you going, Mick, Tony?
Not too bad at all.
How you going, Pete?
Good day.
Dave, mate, Barbara Streisand.
Oh, look out. Why is that, Dave?
Mate, into big hooters.
Oh,
all three of them.
I see.
I don't know, I don't.
What? Is she had a nose implant? Is that what you're suggesting?
I got it.
I haven't seen Barbara Streisand running up the beach on Baywatch.
Well, why not?
Okay, Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, he wants to turn her into a funny, flatulent lady.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Funny, flatulent lady.
I'm not sure
I've
if the
seen that film.
If the dates have to actually be like Prince William's, but I'm quite enjoying that as an idea. So, Luke, are you there? Luke, are you with us?
Yeah, hi guys, how are you?
Not bad. Have you got a dream date in mind?
I certainly have.
Who's that?
Benny Hill.
Benny Hill?
That'd be magical.
He's rude, crude, everything my wife's not.
And you'd be sitting around, you'd be having dinner with Benny, and things would be getting intimate, and you'd be sharing a bottle of wine, and you'd just lean over in his ear and say, I've got the band to play our song.
As you pop the question, it's very romantic. Does it get any better than that? And then everyone rips each other's clothes off. Runs out. Well, that's a dream date of sorts, I think, Luke. I don't know if Pete has...
Yeah, I'm impressed. Yeah,
okay.
I'm impressed.
Written that down. I think Julie is going next. Julie?
Yeah, hi. How you going?
Good. Have you got a dream date in mind?
Yeah, Prince Charles.
Oh. Why is that, Julie?
Well, yeah, I'd like to go out to a nice expensive restaurant, you know, rock having a pair of thongs, shorts and a shirt.
Right, and you'd still probably be a tastier treat than Camilla Parker Bowles.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, once you sat down, you know, ordered a nice T-bone, you ate it with my fingers and...
Oh, right. So you'd be dragging a monarch down to your level.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, just going to a sort of Dirty Dick style arrangement, eating with your hands. You know when you do that off the big chopping board?
Ah, the good old days.
I reckon Camilla would be riding a shotgun, boys, on that one.
Oh, okay, so that might not work out. I think Matthew has an idea for a dream date. You there, Matthew?
Yes.
Who are you keen on?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, you like Arnold, do you?
Yeah, I like his muscles.
Oh, well.
He's fallen down the stairs on our show yesterday, and of course he's got the heart trouble. Has he got the pig heart? Is that what they're saying about?
He's got a heart the size of Farlap's, T. Martin.
Okay, well, that could work. It's not a bad one, but I don't know if Arnold is on for burp and fart in action.
Oh, not right now.
He's a gentleman, boys.
He'd have to ask his doctor.
All right. Have we got Mark on the line? Are you there, Mark?
Yes, hello, how are you?
Not bad. Who's your dream date?
Denise Drysdale.
Denise Drysdale.
Look, she'd be spot on. She'd fart and burp and everything.
And maybe do a bit of a chicken dance?
Exactly. Anything you wanted, she'd do it.
Yeah. I've enjoyed many dinners with Denise and can't say I've seen that. Can't say I've heard it. Can't say I've smelled it.
So you're saying that might not work out. Well, somebody has to be a winner today, Pete, and you've made extensive notes.
I have indeed.
Who are you going for?
Well, I really do have to go back to the top and give it to Dave for Barbara Streisand.
He had a plan.
I did.
I don't know if we can make that dream come true, Dave, but you are our winner today.
You're beauty.
You've got the blue M&M pack. Your name?
My nose has just grown 4 inches.
Is it? Well, it might grow even further if you come out of the barrel today. Oh, now we're not going to do it with the barrel. I think we've got a rather unique method of drawing the winner today. I believe, Mick, you've been on the phone and you've actually obtained the services of NYPD Blue Sipkowitz.
That's correct. And to draw today's winner, Pete Smith here is going to have to wrestle with Sipkowitz and extract the winning contestant's name, which we've enclosed in Sipkowitz's underpants.
Right, okay.
Off with the bow tie in that case, boys. Oh, I'm not spoiling that.
All right, bring him in, and it's... Oh, Sipkowitz looks a bit angry.
Does indeed.
Remember, the winning contestant is going to have a walk-on part in NYPD Blue.
Oh. Go for him, Mike! Hey, come here! You got David coming to the edge.
It's a blue.
What's yeah, Kate,
it's a big blue.
I've been spoiling for a blue for ages with you, sir.
Oh, hey,
I'll be cheating for that envelope.
Oh, no. It's a giant piece of blue.
The envelope.
Oh, no, there's blue in hands everywhere.
Oh. You got it.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to warn that there was, in fact, a dangerous trap. But nonetheless,
give me the envelope.
I have extracted the winner.
Yes,
who is it?
It's a bit marked and stained, but here it is.
Who's that?
Oh, I don't know. It's James Coleman from Orange.
From Orange! Oh, dear. It wasn't Dave from today. But James Coleman was the man who gave us a fantastic rendition of Mel Colston attacking a Bay Marie.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that performance?
Sounded a lot like Sipkowitz attacking Pete there.
Well, fantastic news for you, James. You're off to New York and LA, and you're going to have that walk-on role in NYPD Blue. We'll certainly be looking for you when that episode shows up on Channel 10, probably about a year's time. Mm-hmm. And, Pete, thanks for coming in for a bit of a wrestle today.
Anytime, you betcha.
And thanks, of course, to the team at New Blue M&M's. They're blue, they're tasty, they're in the shops now. We'll be back with a brand new competition on Monday here at Martin Molloy. Like the way I do, and really, that's it for Martin Molloy.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, it's finished with. It's something that's happened, but it's finished with. It's gone now. It's in the past.
Oh, all right. Not completely. Because we can't sign off for this week. It's Anzac Day tomorrow, so we will be slacking off, taking advantage of the public holiday.
Sure.
And I think we do something. Well, am I forgetting? What is it, Mickey? Oh, not the Incinerator.
Look out.
Ah, yes, this is where we pack all the really piss week jokes we didn't have time for earlier in the week into the Martin Molloy Comedy Incinerator once and for all. Start the clock, Racy. I'll kick things off with news that, despite complaints from the RSPCA, Swiss dog owner Michel Pesquet this week allowed his 19-month-old pit bull terrier to set a new world record, hanging off the ground by its teeth from a large bratwurst sausage. The previous record was 70 minutes and resulted in David Duchovny having to take a week off work.
A thief in Werribee, Victoria, has stolen a semi-trailer carrying more than 1,000 bottles of wine valued at over $70,000. Police are keen to talk to anyone who may have witnessed the crime, while Andrew Lloyd Webber is keen to talk to the missing wine collection.
Michael Jackson this week unveiled a creepy, almost lifelike wax statue of himself at a Paris museum. I'm sorry, Michael Jackson this week unveiled himself at a Paris museum.
Supermodel Claudia Schiffer would like to be cloned so she can have a double to take over her hefty workload. Schiffer says a clone of herself would allow her to spend more time having fun while her double did all the dirty work. Tone, I knew this technology could be used for evil, but making a clone sleep with David Copperfield, they've gone too far!
And finally, Michael Flatley, the self-appointed Lord of the Dance, has admitted he may have missed the boat with Hollywood. He says he turned down several high-profile film roles and is now kicking himself. In fact, we have a recording here of him kicking himself. Yeah, I was enjoying that.
I'll pay big money to go and see 2 hours of that, Tone.
Yes, please. The Lord of Dance just kicking his own ass. Oh, that's what we want. Time for us to go. We'd like to thank our guests, Charles Bud Tingwell, Haskell Daniel, Lloyd Bond, of course, the man with a vision of a giant bronze dozzy on the Gold Coast, and Pete Smith, the big man in the glass booth. As always, a big end-of-week salute to our producer, Gracie. Our assistant, Sancia. Making those sketches till the early hours, it's the talented Vicky Ma.
Good on you, Vic.
And, of course, all the button pushers right around the country.
I know who they are.
And I guess this is goodbye to the button pushers at TNT in London. Their license has expired, but guys, if you do get another one in September, we'll be there with all our stupid material in tow. And by the way, we'll be back on Monday, of course, for Australian listeners with Santo Chilaro and amongst our other guests later in the week, Sue Ann Post, Kaz Cook, and those wacky young chappies from Savage Garden. Mm-hmm. But just before we go, here's a treat.
Martin Malloy are proud to present their all-new autumn range of comedy characters. Over the next few months, you'll be enjoying the occasional visit from some cockamamie additions to our ever-growing stable of knockabout characters, like Harvey, the disgruntled lobster.
Ooh! Ow! Ooh! That's enough now! Come on, you've had your fun! Get me out of here! Come on, it's starting to get a little hot. I don't like it anymore. It's starting to hurt. Oh, come on. I haven't been a bad lobster, have I? I'm trying to be a good little fella. My bottom hurts.
And if you reckon Harvey's a wacky funster, wait till you meet Roger, the laughing pumpkin. He's got Albie the greengrocer just about at the end of his tether.
Yes, mister, how can I help you?
I don't know, what's good?
Well, I got some beautiful bananas, some very ripe mango, how about some beautiful grapes?
Who's that laughing?
It's the pumpkin, just ignore him. How about some fresh cauliflowers? Or some melon, you like melon?
All right, that's it, I've had it with you, you stupid pumpkin. Why do you mock me? Shut up, I tell you. Shut up, you stupid pumpkin! Are you finished now? Don't you laugh! Don't you laugh! Don't laugh! Hey, 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 stupid pumpkin!
What about Barry, the knife-wielding treasurer?
Barry, you must be disappointed with the balance of payment figures for the second quarter. I mean, it's the third successive drop in his...
Barry stepped in! Somebody call the police! Drop the knife, Barry!
Stand back or I'll cut you from ear to ear!
Perhaps you prefer the screwball antics of Tanya, the marriage guidance counsellor who bites the heads off live bats.
So, Trevor, can you tell me how you think Janet might feel when you don't come home for 3 days?
Oh, a little unhappy, I suppose. It's just that...
What are you doing? Oh, mother of God, you are sick, you hear me? Sick!
And for the kiddies, you can't go past our new pal, Jeff the serial-killing nanny goat. So kick back, relax, and enjoy our all-new autumn range of comedy characters coming soon to Martin Molloy. Right, Roger?
I'm telling you, shut up! Shut up, you stupid pumpkin! Hey, hey, hey!
Martin Molloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola. Pete Smith speaking.